Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, except Linda's not here. It's our Thursday, and guest co-host today, Eric Wickstrom, Five Star Bank.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic.
Well, you're looking spiffy as a as a banker should.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And speaking of spiffy, there's Bad Bob.
I would argue that nobody has the right to look that perky at this hour.
Well, you know, you always look perky, Bad Bob. That, you know, I like the way you've cut that beard this time. So it's got that little spade look around the chin. You know, and it's got that, you know, it's got that, you know, those, well.
I owe it all to Cypress Square Barber.
There you go. There hey, you go. Man's last stronghold. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and the chat room
will be open very shortly.
Will be open very shortly. We understand it's back and working after 4 days of being hacked by some jerk named Heather. Our phone lines here
probably lives at home with his mom.
It's probably, you know, and drinks Red Bull. He's probably 48 years old, wears a pink bathrobe. 605-4567, our we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. I'm off my rhythm here today. Okay, it's 7:06. It is October 21st, and it's a big day today. Today is Think Pink Day. And the people are all over town are going to Churn Creek at the post office. They're going to pick up bags to give money. They're going to the Reading Post Office. They're going to MD Imaging. You can go to all types of these different North State community bag sites in French Gulch, Fall River Mills, Alturas, Anderson, just Shingletown, Trinity Center, just so many places, again, to bring out the awareness of breast cancer. And in fact, Linda today, on Think Pink Day, is having a mammogram. As we speak, down at MD Imaging, she's going to give us a call here in a little bit, tell us what's going on. I don't know if it's everything that's going on, but at least tell us what's going on. And today, we've got a number of things going on, okay. And we have a lady by the name of Lori Martin's going to call in about 7:15. She does historical cemetery tours, goes through the cemeteries. Then we're going to have Phil Smith from KIXE. Phil has been back in the papers again, the general manager of KIXE, by saying, okay, look, you know what, democracy now, let's put this to a vote. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, we have Reading City Council candidate John Wright that'll be here. And in between, we're going to be filling it in on things that we think you might like right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to rock a little bit. Looks like Proposition 19 may be in more trouble than you think. Join us after these messages.
Citizens of...
Yeah, welcome back, Carl and Linda Bott. What, did you just cut it off? I can jump in. You can still play it.
Leap right on that. Well, I figured you had something to say, sir.
Linda's not here, and I just do these things. You know, without her, she's like got a hold of my kneecap and is pushing it sideways. I want to hear it play longer. You know, what am I going to do, lose my kneecap? Eric Wickstrom's my co-host here, my guest co-host, and he doesn't do that.
No.
Thank God. All right. Hey, today it's 55 degrees right now. It's going to be mostly sunny today, 71 degrees. And let me tell you, though, this weekend, my friends, if you're going to ride your Harley, ride it today, because starting tonight, we got a chance of showers. Friday, showers. Saturday and Sunday, showers. So it's that time of the year, we're starting all over again. And frankly, I'm looking forward to that. It's getting cooler. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, and Linda will be singing there Saturday. She's got her favorite crew up there. They're doing a bunch of new music. So join us up there at Anselmo Vineyards this Saturday. But call for reservations because it fills up quick. Yeah, as Eric found out the time he tried to get up there.
Yes, I did.
And it didn't quite work out. Hey, Eric, the polls are showing that the Republicans, this is nationwide, are getting ready to have, as they call it, a sea change.
Yes.
In Congress, and
state,
the Senate,
local, federal elections across the country.
Well, why is it then that it looks like Boxer? You know, right now, I mean, it's a really close race. How can it be that close with Boxer? I mean, look at the last 23 years. She's voted for the health care, which is coming apart around the edges. She's, you know, she's voted for, you know, she's pushed for every program that's going to raise our taxes. She is, you know, she is rude to the military. No matter what she says, everybody saw it. What she said later was a lie. Why is it, do you think, that Boxer is still loved here, or at least supported here?
That's a great question, Carl. I, you know, having watched both sides of the races and listening to Carly Fiorini when she was here in town, I don't understand why Boxer gets the support she does. She's a rude person, as you said. She's supported a lot of things that have caused the problems that we're in right now. And it'd be great to hear from somebody to understand what the support is, but the polls still come out saying that she's got a slight lead.
Well, you know, I would like to see that. You know, and speaking of that, I talked to somebody that who I trust. They're registering people down there on Court and Placer the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I was told is that people that were coming in, this person was only there for a few hours, but said of the people that were coming in, three of them that were Democrats switched to Republican for registration. Wow. They had about 8 or 10 people register as Republicans, and she had said that there was a number of them, number of others that came in and changed their party affiliation to not the independent party, but the, you know, do not state, whatever, which one ever that is. That I found very interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still gets down to it is you know, people are seeing things, in my opinion, that they can't. We can't continue on like this. We know we can't continue to spend this money. We can't continue to have the economy do this. And yet, people in the Obama administration and a lot of the Democrats are just walking in lockstep. I mean, right down the road here, saying everything is okay.
Yeah, that's it's hard to understand with the state of the economy and the state of you know, the government we have now, the increasing regulations. Why people, you know, why the polls still continue to show that there's support for the old ways, the old habits.
Well, you know, they're saying now is that things change, I mean, dramatically by depending on who's saying it, how the stimulus, you know, package saved or created 300,000 new jobs. It was supposed to be like 1 million jobs, and it was supposed to keep the unemployment under 10, you know, it was going to help the unemployment. Instead, the unemployment went up. There's still nobody hiring. There's still no new jobs being produced. Or if it is, it's like 30,000. You need like 100,000. What do you see from the economic side? I mean, that's what you all are doing. I mean, you've got to be out there.
Sure.
Watching
the
forecast.
We watch closely what's going on locally, you know, statewide and nationally. And the economy's a mess. Even the small pockets that we saw some recovery and some stabilization in the first part of this year. With the health care law that's passed, with the other you know, massive legislations that's passed, and the resulting regulations that have been required but not implemented, you know, corporate America is frozen. They don't know what to expect from the government, and so they're, you know, waiting to see what the new rules are going to be before they make meaningful decisions.
Well, I see in Connecticut that the legislature let the health insurance industry raise their rate something like 42% because they saw what was coming, and they'd asked for it because of the insurance companies said, look, this is coming down the road. If we don't do this, we're not going to be able to cover anybody.
Yep. We're going to see that here locally, too. You know, the fourth quarter is historically when premiums are reset for health care benefits, and you know, businesses meet with their insurance brokers during the fourth quarter, get the indications of what the increases are, and work on negotiating, and that's where we're going to really see it. And every indication is that we're going to see, you know, solid double digit increases in health care costs. With the new required coverages that required by the healthcare package, were you know, the costs are going to go up. They have to go up, and somebody's got to pay for them. And the only people paying for them are the businesses that are paying the premiums.
Well, you know, and that's it. You know, we have people on here, individuals have their own businesses. You know, small businesses, their rates have gone up 27%, 30%. So it's the kind of thing that it's happening, and there's no healthcare benefits from this.
There's no increase. You know, the big one that's coming out is covering kids till they're 26. The old age, I think, was 23, but they needed to be in school, and now there's no restrictions on school, and covering to 26.
What the hell is going on with that?
I don't know.
Why do I have to pay for people to have their kids, you know, to support their kids till they're 26?
It's a disincentive for them to go out and work.
Okay, hey, look, I tell you what, let's go to the phones. We've got a caller here. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, guys.
How
morning.
You doing?
Yeah, you were talking about why people support Barbara Boxer, and, you know, it's the liberals down south, and the only term I could throw out there is sheeple. They're sheeple. They believe everything that is told to them by these, you know, people. And the other thing is the media down there. I heard one of the news stations down there bagging on Carly Fiorina and HP, telling, you know, talking about all these tax breaks and stuff she gave HP, and, you know, they're even the local media sides with the liberals down there. And it's just, you know, like my mom, God bless her, lives in L.A., and she's a Rhodes Scholar, and she is ultra-liberal. I can't even talk to her and try to reason with her with, you know, people like Obama. It's just cemented in their head that these people are, you know, the greatest, no matter what they do.
Well, you know, I think it is that the government needs to take care of people, and that the idea of individual responsibility is very difficult for people to accept and embrace.
Jim, I think you make a great point. Both the media, you know, feeding off of kind of some of the frenzy that's going on, and the liberal areas of our state, which are, you know, the highly populated areas of our state, you know, are afraid of somebody that's been successful in business. They're afraid to have a leader that's been successful in business.
Yeah.
And making hard decisions.
And, you know, I think that's what we're running to. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for your phone call. We have Linda on the other line, and I better hop on that one. You bet.
Thanks,
okay,
Jim.
Linda, you're on. Hon, good morning.
Hi.
How are you, hon? I told everybody it's Think Pink Day, and you were down at MD Imaging.
You know, I can't hear the radio while I'm on hold.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why I tell you that. I didn't know. Yeah, 7, 8 a.m. I got here, drove by. It's really cool here at MD Imaging because I think everybody that works here, and plus volunteers or whatever, I mean, the streets are lined with tons of people that are, you know, giving out bags with pink carnations, and inside the bag is all the information, and you know, all the post offices are doing the same thing because this is designated as Breast Cancer Awareness Day, not only the month, but this specific day. So I am 3 years past having a mammogram since I've been up in the North State. I wanted to share this with our loyal listeners because I guess I put it off because, you know, my team of doctors, I had my favorite team of doctors in Sacramento, and I've just kind of been scattered around Redding and not really sure, but knowing that, you know, I need to really get in there. So it was, I didn't realize the day that I made my mammogram appointment, it was the day of the official Think Pink, you know, mammogram day. So I got in at 7, of course I was the first one in there, and it's the first time I've walked into MD Imaging on top of that. Beautiful, clean, happy environment. And the gal behind the desk had me fill out, go to a room, I filled out 3 forms, you know, the HIPAA form, you know, agreeing to, and then went from right there into a room to put on a gown, and then a lovely gal by the name of Shannon took me into the room and had the, you know, the breast examinations with the machine, you know, where they do it 3 different ways, and so it's like, well, you know, you send it to your doctor in 24 to 48 hours. I was in and out in 15 minutes.
Well, you know what? And that could be the most important 15 minutes of your life, darling.
So I have to remember where I had my old mammograms and have that sent to them so they can compare the new to the old. So that would be my next homework assignment, just, you know, forwarding records.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was really, really important to call in to the listeners because we have a tendency to put things off. And Tuesday I attended the luncheon, the Sir Optimus luncheon, and, of course, that morning we had Heidi Marble on. And her story, when she spoke to those who of us attended the luncheon at the convention center, was so riveting at 34 years old to, you know, get breast cancer in a massive form and just what people go through. So it's just, you know, it's all about early detection.
Yeah. And, you know, MD imaging is one of the finest places you can have that done, have that work done, too.
Now, is Eric there?
Eric's here.
Good morning, Linda.
Eric, hi.
How are you?
No, I mean, I'm looking through the calendar because I'm still in the parking lot, and I pulled out, oh, well, this year they have a Think Pink calendar in the month of May.
Yes.
Five Star Bank sponsored
Five-star
the month
Bank.
Of May.
Yes, we did. No, we're happy to support it.
And you can see two people, a woman and a man in pink shirts on their horses, and their horses have the pink ribbon on the sprayed on their butts or whatever, but anyway, so thank you for that.
Yes. No, it's our pleasure. It's a very important thing for all women, but especially women over 40 to be aware of.
That's right. Well, honey, look, we got to take a break. We love you.
All right. All right, you guys have a good one. Don't
all
say
right,
anything
Linda.
I wouldn't do.
Okay, never.
And if you do, go with passion.
Hey, wait a minute.
That doesn't limit much, does it?
Yeah, who's no, not at all. Hey, honey, who you going to have on your show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Bott?
Oh, okay, I have Summer Chappelle.
Uh-huh.
As music guest. I've got Bethany bringing in a new product.
Uh-huh.
Lisa Collins is bringing in two cast members of, I think, the upcoming MASH production.
Uh-huh.
And I have Bath and Body Works from the mall that are going to be talking about brand new scents with hot this season.
Uh-huh.
And they also will be featured in my mall show, which will be October this Saturday at 2. So you'll hear them first Thursday night. And then Nancy will, Sutton Pierce will come on the ending of the show to talk about her brand new column, which hit A News Cafe yesterday.
Okay, honey. All right.
So we're going to be full, and then we also have a $25 gift certificate we're giving away from Market Street Wines and a gift certificate from the mall, the Mount Shasta Mall. So you want to listen and tune in, and you know, it's going to be a fireball that's going to happen fast.
Okay. All right, hon. Look, be careful,
bye.
And we'll see you later.
Alrighty, talk to you later.
All right, love
bye-bye.
You. Bye. Okay, we've got like 4 minutes left in this before we go to a break. How many minutes of commercial there?
We can do this. We can do this.
We can do this. Well, let's just talk a couple minutes more, and then we'll just hit that and just go from there. Okay, no, we won't. Let's go to the break.
KCNR 1460.
60. We just got a couple of seconds here before we have to break. Linda called in, said she called in her own little traffic emergency. They've got a backup on Court Street because of everybody stopping to get those bags from MDMG. That's Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Join us after this news break. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, our guest co-host today, because Linda's off because she's got On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight, is Eric Wittstrom of Five Star Bank. Good morning.
Morning, Carl.
How you doing? Hey, look, this
fantastic
portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest cigar emporium in the state, if not the whole West. Great walk-in humidor, but Espresso Joe's, where you can get that coffee fixed so many different ways. And then we have the meeting room next door. And tomorrow, Friday at noontime, we're talking Proposition 19. Yay or nay? Now, the thing about Proposition 19 is that right now, you know, it used to be leading in the polls 52 points to 40 with other people undecided. Now, it looks like Proposition 19 is behind. And yet there are so many advocates for it. Now, we're going to be discussing Proposition 19 tomorrow at noon at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. There's lunch available there. We're going to be filming it so we can put it up on YouTube as usual. So stop on by and let's hear what you say. That's noon tomorrow, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, besides having Eric here, our guest for this segment is Phil Smith, the new general manager of KIXE, except you're not really new.
I was about to say, I'm not sure I feel so new anymore. I think
the honeymoon's
I'm
over.
Getting broken in, and the honeymoon is over.
Well, that was a short honeymoon there. You know,
yes, it was.
The new and abused model. Okay, now, when the first time you came on, it's because Democracy Now!, which was one of the shows that say the more progressive side of the of our community enjoyed. You took it off the air.
Yes, we took it off the air again. It's funny because when the like the old game of rumor, when people start sharing information, it tends to get distorted. You know, the original reasons that I gave are still the same, that I felt like it contained political bias and that it was presented as a newscast. And the political bias itself doesn't bother me because I'm a freedom of speech guy, and I believe that it's a good thing to have conversations, especially amongst people who have differing opinions, especially if they're civil conversations. But in this particular case, I felt like that program didn't properly represent the values of PBS, because PBS tries, you know, they don't always succeed, but they try to be as middle of the road as possible on their news coverage or on things that are labeled as news. So the program came off, and I don't want to belabor the history because I think most people know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
For about 2.5 weeks, we didn't hear anything. And so we kind of assumed, and I'll talk about this in a minute, the mistakes of being the new guy. I kind of assumed that nobody cared about it because absolutely nobody seemed to notice the thing wasn't on the air anymore.
It was on at 6 to 7, I think,
every morning. 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.
5 to 6 a.m.
The paper then ran a story, and as part of that process that happens when you talk to somebody and they stretch or embellish what you said, the quote came out that I was saying it was a liberal show, and it was way too liberal. And I kept saying originally it was political bias. I'm not interested in political bias on any of our newscasts in any direction. But that message continues to get distorted for reasons I'm not quite sure why. So one of the things that happened as the politics heated up, and I've had a ton of phone calls and a ton of emails from people, as the politics heated up, I realized I was kind of one of those darned if you do, darned if you don't situations, because basically I'm getting three kinds of email. I'm getting people who are supportive who simply say, either way, we will support you, we do or we don't like the program, but we're still going to support you because we don't have to like everything to be supportive generally of the station. Then I'm also getting the other two kinds, which are people saying, take it off or I'll never support you. And then the other group says, don't take it off and I'll never support you. And so, you know, I came to the realization that the mistake that I had made, because I have a personal opinion, I just don't care for that program, I'll be very honest with you. But the mistake I made was in thinking that the folks out there wanted me to simply decide all of these issues. And so once this became a big controversy, I realized that the people who have faithfully supported this station, not the people who call in and say, I'm quitting because you didn't do what I want you to do, but the people who have continued to support us, the members, because we are a member-supported television station after all, that the members should decide what happens with this program. You know, I've been accused of doing a publicity stunt and a fundraiser and all this other stuff. And the bottom line is no, the mistake I made is in not being more careful and pinging and listening to the members who support the station faithfully every day. And so this vote, if you will, it's kind of a fun time of season to be having a vote, but the vote will decide what's going to happen with this program, not the various whiny factions that keep on calling me and complaining and threatening. You know, I've got a threat this morning from someone that just said, you think you've seen backlash? You ain't seen nothing yet. You know, and I responded back, and I'm basically telling this person, why are you saying this? Are you backlashing against the idea of democracy itself? You know, you're supporting the program Democracy Now! Isn't it ironic that you don't support democracy itself?
Well, you know, the thing is that people, you know, once they get their ire up, once it gets lit, and you think, okay, you know, I've met with people, this is what we're going to do, and then it just keeps, and then it comes rolling around again. It's like it needs time to get some more speed up, and here it comes again.
Right. I've had folks call in and say, you know, you did this just to punish the people who stopped supporting the station. And I said, no, I didn't, because you can still become a member. We're counting these votes until November the 1st. You know, if you want to participate, call the station, email the station, go online to kixe.org, become a member and vote. If you don't, nobody's making you do that. But you have no right to call up and expect to influence the future of this television station from those of us who are trying to keep it going, from those who are helping us keep it going.
Well, you know, that to me makes sense. If you don't have some skin in the game, then you don't vote.
That's exactly right. If you want to go watch something else, go watch something else. It's a free country. We're not making you do anything, but find something more supportive to do instead of just tearing down this organization.
Well, you know, we've got to take a break here. But, you know, one of the things that Dugan Barr and I agree on is that, I know, Dugan Barr and I agree on this, is that KIXE must be supported. There are so many great shows that's on KIXE. No.
I want to thank Dugan Barr, by the way, just real quick, because Dugan and I have talked, and Dugan and I are never going to agree on everything politically. There's no way. But Dugan's got skin in the game. Dugan's sponsoring one night of the auction coming up, in spite of the fact that he's not happy about what we've done with the program. And I want to thank Dugan for being a community-minded person and supporting us.
Well, you know, and that's what I said, you know, was that, you know, I may not agree with you on a lot of things, but you're right in this, is that we can disagree about shows. I mean, I've seen Democracy Now, which is probably more than 70% of the people who are complaining have. And the point is, though, is that when I wrote that one piece was that I took just the first 3 days of the schedule and just picked out things that, you know, I mean, that cover everybody. I said, how can you let a station go away that's got all this great programming just because of one show?
Right. If anything, if you can at least support the kids' educational programming on the station, where they're not trying to sell your kids' products, they're trying to teach your kids how to read. If you can't support that, you know, I think you've got your politics mixed up.
Yeah, someplace. Hey, we've got to take a break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. Our guest co-host, Eric Woodstrom. We'll actually let him get a word in here after this break. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebaugh, our guest host for today is Eric Woodstrom, Five Star Bank. Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Eric is also a member of the board for KIXE.
Yes, I am, coincidentally.
And this was a coincidence because, you know, I asked Phil to come on after the story broke because here's what I like to be able to do. Linda and I really like to be able to do. A story hits the paper. I mean, that's it. I mean, the people whose names and faces and words appear in the paper, that's it. That's all that's been said. We, on several occasions, and we will continue to do this no matter really who it is offer another voice, another way of getting that word out, and perhaps in the person's own words, that may mean just a little bit, maybe a little bit different than what the has been said in the paper.
By the way, I'd also like to apologize to the other Philip Smith that lives here in Redding, California. Unfortunately, his picture was placed in place of mine. I finally figured out who that was because I offered a cup of coffee on the internet yesterday to anybody who could identify that guy whose picture was purported to be mine in the paper yesterday. And so my apologies, Philip.
I noticed that one too, and I thought either Phil's changed a lot or the Record Searchlight's editorial.
I look much more like Brad Pitt, for those of you who have not seen me. So.
Okay, well, we can skip right past that one. Okay, hey, Eric, you know, how long have you been on the board?
Well, another coincidence, I joined the board at the same time Phil started, July 1st. July of this year was my initiation to the board of KIXE. You know, it's been an exciting first 4 months on the board, and I know we've watched Phil make a lot of decisions, and kind of we all recognize that KIXE is a jewel in our community, and that needs some polishing, and we're polishing it up and recasting it, and making you know, a few changes here and there under Phil's direction that I think is going to have KIXE survive for the long term.
So, where do you see for the future for KIXE?
Well, actually, it's probably best to have Phil comment on that. Phil's
I can comment, but it's great for anybody that wants to comment out there, including callers, because the future has yet to be written, and the future is going to be decided by the folks who work at the station who are trying to do this as a daily task, but also, again, to the members who support us, because we really want you. And one of the things I want to stress, you may have seen this in writing somewhere, but I've got an email list that I'm starting that's not a part of the membership database. It's just an email list for me. Because I'm sometimes sitting at my desk, and we'll ask a question like, you know, Rob Keenan, who's the program director, will come in, and we'll be talking about programming, and say, what do you think about putting on, you know, BBC World News at 6 o'clock? And we're both sitting there kicking that around, and all of a sudden I realized if I could go to my email list and ping several hundred members and say, hey, we're sitting here talking about this programming decision. What do you all think out there? Do you care about this? That's a tremendous ability to have feedback from the supporting members. And so for those of you who are interested in doing that, email me, please, at psmith, P-S-M-I-T-H, at kixe.org, and just say, hey, I want to be on your members' updates email list. Now, you do need to be a member because, again, these decisions are going to be made by the folks who currently and faithfully support us. They're not the fair-weather friends who, you know, threaten, take my program off and I'll not support you anymore.
Well, how much does it cost to join for KIXE?
Oh, I don't have the membership things in front of me. I want to say that the basic membership is $40 right now. And the nice thing about it is that not only with these efforts to get more feedback from our members, you know, that we're adding value to being a member of KIXE, but there are other things coming too. Like we've been talking about doing a raffle. Now, right now there's a raffle going on that we really need folks to buy tickets for and support. It's for a Christmas raffle, and we can talk about that maybe next time I'm on the radio. Hopefully you'll have us back next week. But at the same time, we also are going to be doing things that you can win prizes as being a member that we'll announce live on the air. You know, we're going to have some special programs and things where members can get tickets to come in and see events and things that aren't normally open to the general public. And a list of other things that we'll talk about later. But membership does have its value, and, you know, including the fact that, as I commented to somebody yesterday, they said, you know, the members are going to eventually decide whether you stay or go. And I said, you know what? You're probably absolutely right. And I said, so you better become a member if you want to run me out of town.
We'd like to build a relationship with KIXE because you know, it's PBS, but it's our local broadcasting medium here. And it has so many things that we like, you know, in the broadcast. I mean, where else can you go, you know, in one day you get to see the Van Cliburn piano competition. And then you get to see Cat in the Hat, and you get to see Lawrence Welk. Well, Hugh Hauser, I'm not sure about. But then you go into these others and some, you know, some of the travelogues and Masterpiece Theater. Somebody commented, you know, and I agree with them. Masterpiece Theater is beautiful.
Well, still one of the most requested, as we've opened these lines of communications to the members, one of the most requested shows I'm still getting requests for is Red Green. And my understanding was from the history, Red Green went off because Red Green charges a fee to the program syndicator. That is not a PBS program provided to us as part of our core fees to the network. So they have to pay a separate fee to air that program. But we've had a lot of people ask for it, and so I've worked out a deal with Rob Keenan and the syndicators where they're going to let us do some pledging and Christmas holiday specials. The Saturdays in December coming up. You should see those at 9 o'clock on Saturdays is our preliminary slot for that.
Yeah.
And we're going to raise enough money to pay the syndicator fee to bring the show back starting in January. And again, our tentative target for January will be Saturdays at 9 p.m. because, you know, PBS just doesn't have much funny on there at all. We would kind of like to add a little bit of levity to the programming schedule.
Well, people should read the comments in the paper. Hey, Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 14.6. We've got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back in our last segment. Fire Radio at 7:55 on October the 21st. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, 244-1988. Give him a call. He'll get in there quick, put in that surround sound system. Shop local, stay local. He's been around here since 1985, and he does very, very good work. Okay, our guest co-host is Eric Woodstrom from Five Star Bank, and our guest for this segment is Phil Smith.
By the way, brief election update. As of yesterday...
of KIXE.
Of KIXE. As of yesterday, the membership director reports that the Keep Democracy Now! Voters are ahead by several votes.
Okay.
That's of yesterday. So this is going to continue up to election day on November 2nd, where we're then going to do an announcement in the break before the news.
So this is what, 42 for and 38 against, or is that more?
She didn't give you the number. She just said that so far the Keep is ahead.
Okay. Well, how many times do you get to vote?
Once per member. And we do have a marker in the database, so we, number one, can check to make sure that a ballot or an email vote is a member, and two, that they've only voted once.
Okay.
This is democracy.
This is democracy. That's right. Hey, the weather today, it's currently 56 degrees. It's going to be great today, like 71 sunny. And this will be one of the last days because it looks like coming in tomorrow, we're going to start Get you some showers. Showers over the weekend. Cool. How's that work for duck hunting?
I think it's going to work out just fine for the opener on Saturday.
Is that right? Is that the duck hunting opener on Saturday?
Saturday for the Balance of the State opens on for duck hunting, and I think the weather's going to cooperate perfectly.
Well, you know, when it's raining and stormy like that, they come in low.
Yes, they do.
And so, you have a favorite place around here?
Well, this year I'm going to be hunting up in Goose Valley up by Bernie.
Goose Valley.
Goose Valley. Sounds like a great place to go.
Hunt geese or something like that.
And we'll see how it goes.
There's sort of strange perversions going on up there. Let's go to the phone. Kay, good morning. Kay.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't hear, again, as Linda said, you can't hear yourself on the, there's nothing on the phone when you're on hold.
Okay.
Well, I keep telling Bob about that. I think I'll fire him.
Yeah, I really like that. It's even better than listening to the radio on the radio, you know.
Okay, Kay, what's up?
Well, I was just wondering now, how exactly is it that people get to vote?
To vote, all you have to do is be a member. To be a member, you can go online and you can click on the donate button on www.kixe.org. You can call the main number if you want. That's 243-5493. You can email psmith@kixe.org, and I'd be more than happy to help you do that. It's very easy, and you've got plenty of time to do it.
It was my understanding from what I read in the paper that the newsletter would be sent out.
The newsletter has been sent out. If you haven't received a copy, again, email me and I can get another copy to you. Mm-hmm. But you do not have to have the newsletter to vote. We want to make sure we count everybody. Again, a phone call, an email, whatever. We've got the membership database, so we can check to make sure who our members are. And I've personally delivered some votes that I didn't agree with, but that's the way the voting is. So
you let
me know, and I'll take care of it.
Well, I'm glad that you've taken the stand.
Well, you mean the stand for democracy or the stand one way or another for the program?
Well, what you did with the program, actually.
Well, again, I've been honest. I mean, personally, I just don't care for it, but that's beside the point because I'm hired to operate the television station, hired by basically the members and the board to run the station in a way that is best for the community. And so, you know, there are times I would put a program on that's not my favorite, but that's what I'll do.
Right.
Hey, Kay, we've only got about 30 seconds left. Thank you so much for your phone call. Hey, our guest has been Bill Smith from KIXE. You're going to be back on November 2nd.
By the way, email me, Kay. I'd be glad to continue that conversation.
Or give him a call down there.
Or give me a call, Kay.
Right. Hey, our next segment, John Wright, running for city council. And he's got a lot of ideas we want to talk to him about. And all the city council nominees will be here in the next week or so, including a debate between Ken Murray and Patrick Jones on November 1st.
Put
we'll
that
talk
on
more about that. Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. So it's Carl and DeBott and Eric Wichtrom sitting in for Linda, and she has her Thursdays off now, getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott.
Fox News Radio, only
Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It is 8:05, October 21st. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Are we chatting now?
The chat room is active.
Okay, the chat room's open now. It was down earlier, but we're back up. And we took our Cracker Jack IT group 4 days to try and get it back up. Okay, I know that's a little bit, maybe a little harsh on that. But we are streaming at KCNR 1460, and the chat room supposedly is up. 605-4567 one more time. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, of course, is on assignment. Because tonight is On the Spot with Linda Bott, and she's got some great guests. Summer Chappell, who's going to be opening tomorrow night for that guy Kevin Sharp. Lisa Collins, we're going to be talking theater. They have a number of things going on for tonight on her show from 6 p.m. right here in KCNR 1460. So our guest co-host is Eric Wichtrom.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Eric, Five Star Bank, who has been our
great to be here.
You know, he's been our go-to guy when it comes to talking about economic events and things that are going on, and he can he lays it out really straight about this is something to look at. I sent him an email yesterday, in fact, about
the 1%.
What is this 1% tax? I mean, I'd heard of it. I'd looked it up one time, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just not, I don't understand it. The 1% tax that they were talking about to add on to, to everything? Or something?
And it actually has, you know, there's some semblance of legitimacy to it, but it's not going anywhere. The research I did, I saw that email about a month ago, and I've seen it a couple times since, and there was a mad House of Representatives from the East Coast that was mad at the banking industry. He was mad at his personal bank for some reason, and he introduced a bill to tax 1% of all bank transactions. And now it didn't go anywhere, but it's still out there and introduced.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, it can work its way out.
Yeah, the ramifications would, be catastrophic for our financial
Because one industry. Guy gets mad and his bank goes, maybe they were rude to him.
Something. You know. Who knows?
Who knows? Hey, let me talk about just a couple of things before we introduce our guest for this hour, John Reet, who is running for Reading City Council and has been on our show before, is that the stand-down, North Valley stand-down, is starting tomorrow. October 22nd, goes October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th for all homeless veterans. Registration starts at 8 a.m. Friday at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. They have event transportation. They're having a temporary homeless shelter for veterans and their families who need it. Food, job services, driver's license, and ID information. A big thing here, Veterans Administration benefit information. Court assistance with misdemeanors if it's from Shasta County.
All right, and also tonight at 7 o'clock at the Sundial Bridge is the Think Pink Day lighting of the Sundial Bridge. It's a pink sundial supported by MD Imaging, Apex Technology, Centerline Stage and Lighting, North State Resources, and the Print Shop. And if you get a chance, go on down to the Sundial Bridge tonight about 7. Join others in recognizing the Think Pink Day and watch the bridge light up pink.
That's right. Linda, is, in fact, her on her morning off, went down to get a mammogram at MD Imaging. Kind of just worked out that way. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring John Reet on, candidate for Reading City Council. John's got some ideas. He's some solid ideas on what he can do or what he would do if he was on the city council. So join us after these messages. Back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's 8:12 in the morning, October 21st. It's going to be a good day today. It's 56 degrees right now. It's going to go up to like 71, and then this weekend look for rain. Linda's not here. She's got her show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Boss, starting at 6 p.m. So my guest co-host is Eric Wittstrom. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, we really appreciate you coming
in.
I don't,
you know, stand a candle to Linda, but...
Well, you know, as long as you don't put your hand on my knee, we're okay.
Okay.
Our guest, John Reet.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you?
Good, good. Great day to be here.
How's the campaign?
The campaign is really interesting this time around with the different factions that are running and the number of candidates. It's just hard to read where things are right now.
Well, you know, we're kind of getting that same feeling because, you know, we talk, and a lot of people that are, you know, follow this and are involved in this, whether you like it or not, you have, you know, you try and go, well, which way are people leaning here? And then things that are said that people don't hear, or when it's said, they don't realize what's being said. An example, Steve Allen was on the other day. He represents the police and the fire. He's a straight-talking guy. As you know, I'm not going to put a caveat on that, but he's always been straight-talk. I said, what difference does it make who the city council is? He goes, it doesn't. We're going to negotiate. So I guess it would be, you know, and that to me is the big thing out there is vote for these guys. And it's the negotiators are all saying, we're going to negotiate. We have to negotiate. And the question then becomes, is the negotiations how they're going to go?
Well, so. That's true, but the organization that behind Steve Allen will make the difference. Understand, I first met Steve Allen when I was on the Board of Supervisors in 1986, and he's been negotiating contracts for public safety people all those years.
For 23 years.
Right, and he's always been a straight shooter. I don't have a problem with Steve Allen. But he negotiated the 12% reduction in Red Bluff on behalf of their safety employees, and he also negotiated the reduction that Shasta County's put into place for their employees. So, yeah, he has a pretty good idea. It's it's kind of like a thinking that has to evolve over time amongst the employees and the councils and this kind of stuff as to where we're actually going to go. But we see that most of the candidates, and when you run for public office, we all sit around these forums and we all talk about the same thing. So pretty soon everybody's saying the same thing. But so far we've all talked about tactical issues, I call them. You're an old military man, I think. We have everybody's talking the same tactics. But what's the strategy?
Right.
Where are we going to go as a city? And so I've been talking, I've been thinking about it for a long time, but we need to look at becoming a charter city in Reading, to where the people have the ability to referend any contract that the council signs. And if the people don't like it, they can stop it right now. And I think that's the way where we have to be in the future.
Well, when you say a charter city, when you say referend, that means an election every time there's a decision made?
No, they can gather signatures and then have a special election. A special election.
To challenge the decision.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and instead, right now, we're a general law city. We're pretty well set by rules made in Sacramento for the whole statewide, and I'd like to think we're a little more unique than that.
Well, what... Is a charter city, would that bring in a full-time mayor, or a mayor that's a professional that's paid, that's his full-time job?
Depends on how you structure your charter.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to set up a committee to write a charter, and then that charter would be put on a ballot, and the people would vote on it. And if it was something they wanted, then it would go.
Well, and this is the same question I ask everybody, is how do you feel about the 9% and the 7%?
I've heard from people that are ex-city employees that say that the employee should pay the 7 or 9%. But I've also heard another interesting point, that when the city pays the 9% and it goes into PERS, we don't pay unemployment or workman's comp on that 9%. So some of the unions are willing to give up 9% direct pay, and the city then wouldn't have to pay. Keep their 9% paid, that might be cheaper for the city. I'm not sure on that number yet, but it seems to be.
Somebody needs to check that out then.
Right.
Okay, hey, look, let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning there for your guest and you guys.
Thanks for calling, Bruce.
I will ask him a question. When you change over to a charity city, then is there a whole lot more power to the people that can do things like they did back in Sandy Springs, Georgia, that the CHM2 people put together, and they privatized most everything back there except the police and the fire?
I'm not familiar with the Georgia situation, but it does give a lot more direct power to the people. If the council makes a decision, it can be, and it'd have to be an ordinance. If the council makes a resolution, it's not referendable, but if they make a pass an ordinance, it is something that can be overturned. So I don't know, but it does also do away with prevailing wage in the city, which would save 20% to 40% on all public works projects.
Right.
So prevailing wage is what people are charging everywhere else, and or what the average wage is then, right?
Well, it goes to something called industry standard wage,
right,
which takes on more local input as to what the wage is.
Okay. Yeah, Bruce, what else?
And the other one was, I think one of the reasons they don't want to give up that PERS is because that actually works out in their benefit big time for the retirement package, because it goes onto their final retirement package, I think.
That's correct. It does, for retirement purposes, that extra 9% raises their base pay.
Okay. Well, when you listen to these ads, I think it's a defining time here to take a little bit of control back. I mean, I understand those people in those positions that were handed out all these packages, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we can continue them, because things are changed now than they were 5 years ago. Thanks, guys.
You bet, Bruce. Hey, the chat room is open, by the way. Just go to KCNR1460.com. It's up, right, Bad Bob?
Yes, it is, sir. And you don't even have to. Now, what you have to do is, at the bottom it says, enter a nickname here. Clear that window before you enter a nickname. And then you just type in your comments.
There you go. So chat room's back up. At least till Heather gets to it again. John, we've talked a lot about the police and the fire and that. There's so many other issues. Stillwater, the convention center. The convention center and the Reading Rodeo Grounds is it keeps coming up again as a way of acquiring money. Okay. What do you think about that?
If you're referring to selling the convention center or something like that, I would not like to see that if the money is going to go directly into the general fund and be eaten up in operating costs. Yep. If we were going to, let's say, give up the convention center, I think the city should then acquire land or some other asset, some real asset, real estate asset, that would make up for it, and let's say for future parkland or something like this.
Yeah. We've got to take a break here. It's Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindabot. Linda's out on assignment. Our guest co-host, Eric Wittstrom, Five Star Bank, and our guest is John Reed, running for Reading City Council. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:23 in the morning, October 21st. How you doing? Our guest is John Reet, who is running for Reading City Council, and our guest co-host today is Eric Wittstrom. Eric, and Five Star Bank. And Eric, and you know, what the thing is during the breaks, we should just keep recording these things. We talked about a number of things that they come up in the chat room and that. You know, one of the things that we talked about on charter cities, Sunnyvale. You were mentioning that, John.
Right. Sunnyvale has a system where the police are trained as firefighters. They actually carry a set of turnouts in their police car, and it works quite well in Sunnyvale. And the net effect is when a truck rolls out to a fire and there's only two firemen on it, well, then inevitably, there's almost always a policeman right there. The policeman takes over the operation of the truck.
He doesn't crash into the door. He doesn't enter the fire. He just runs the truck.
He runs the truck, but allows the two firefighters to go in to fire and make sure that nobody's trapped in there and that kind of thing. And it seems to work quite well in there.
What about community policing?
Community policing, I think we need Citizens Patrol. We have a Citizens Patrol in Shasta County. I think we need Reserve policemen. The city of Red Bluff has three post-academy trained policemen working as volunteers. They're hoping to get on at some point. That doesn't bother me in the least, but they're donating their time. City of Santa Clara has, if you go to their website, they say they have 75 reserve policemen out helping. And I think the citizens of Reading are willing to step up for good causes.
You know, we have so many, we've had people call our show, retired police. You know, and retired when they were 50. You know, they may be, 58, 60 now. They can drive the cars. They can use the radios. They can be a presence out there. As would, I just know many people would, you know, with you give, a week training or 4 days or whatever, it says you don't get involved. You are a presence. You don't get in high-speed chases.
Clear guidelines. Right.
And those retired cops would know what to look for.
Yeah,
sure,
well, but even then, it's that if you're driving around, a police car driving up and down the streets, trust me, that's a presence. How many times do you see one that you just kind of, like, feel guilty, even if you haven't done anything? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Ted, thanks for waiting.
Carl, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Ted.
Good. Listen, I was actually wanting to call in the day before yesterday when Steve Allen was there, but I couldn't get through.
I'm sorry.
It was a popular day on the phone.
Yes, it was.
And I wanted to make a point, and the fact of the matter is I understand his position and I understand how he makes a living, but there seems to be this entire election seems to be about this topic, and I completely understand the platform that Jones, Bassetti, and MacArthur are on. I understand that. It just seems to me that I don't understand the platform on the other side, because when you had Ken Murray on, and I think it was about a month ago or so, do you remember that, obviously?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he's going to be on November 1st with Patrick Jones.
Perfect. He just said, no, we need to negotiate in a respectful manner. We want to respect public safety. You know, and all the other things that he did say, and I understand, and that's all of those are true, but there's nothing solid there. You know, like here's what we're willing to do. And I heard what he said the other day about the gifts to the city and all of that stuff. And of course, that's all that's all up in the air. But when you start talking about innovation, and you had a guest on yesterday, I think, about that had written a book on
innovation. Yes, Nick Webb.
Incredible guest, by the way.
Thank
you. Made
me
think all the way to work.
Well, good.
When you run into adversity, that causes innovation. In the meantime, if you just continue the status quo, you're not going to innovate. You're just going to continue pouring money into this thing until it actually causes the city to fall apart. Now, you know, I was in the Army for a long time, and the Army, when it started to run out of money and needed to downsize, they just changed the retirement on people. They just absolutely said, okay, you used to be 50%, now you're 40%. We're sorry. Everybody who came in after this date, you're now a 40% retirement person. Everybody else who is grandfathered at 50%. So it's that type of innovation, those type of changes that have to be made. Something has to happen because otherwise we're going to go bankrupt. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd like to have more of a clear idea of what Sullivan and Murray and the rest of them are talking about when they talk about respectful negotiation and what they're willing to do as far as making a change. Obviously, Bassetti and Jones and MacArthur, they have made it very plain what we have to do. And believe me, I'm no fan of them. I'm not a fan of anybody.
Yeah, okay. Now, Ted, just so you can put this down, on Monday the 25th, Francie Sullivan's going to be here. On Tuesday, the 26th, Sandra Speer is going to be here. We're going to have Patrick Jones and Ken Murray in that final dust-off on November 1st. So, and Rick Bassetti's going to be on tomorrow, so you're going to be able to listen to all these people if you just stay tuned. Good, we need that. We want you, because you had very good comments here. What are you going to do? What's next type of thing? So, okay, we've got to take a break here. Thanks so much for your phone call, Ted.
All right, my friend, enjoy your day.
All right. Hey, that's what's going on.
Yep. These last few weeks ought to be pretty spirited as we move up to the election. As Ted said, let's get the facts out there. What are the ideas that people have?
Yeah, okay, what do we got here? How much time, Bob?
30
seconds. Okay, 30 seconds. You know, and that's it. You know, with John's here today, he's throwing out some damn good ideas, John. And we just got some things from the chat room. Says, hey, look, I was in Newark, and we had 37 officers that saved lots of money and lots of time for people out there, you know, the reserve officers that were out just driving around. You know, I think that's something maybe we need to take a look at, and why haven't we taken a look at this? This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. That's the home of Free Fire Media and your community radio station. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Right here in KCNR 1460. The time is 8:34 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off on assignment getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott. Our guest co-host is Eric Woodstrom, Five Star Bank. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, you know what? This part of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it is. Man's last stronghold. Right off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. Good haircuts, good prices. And, my friends, if you're a veteran, you get a discount right there. And when you walk in, don't worry about seeing Oprah. Don't worry about seeing Dr. Phil, unless they're just there getting their hair cut. I mean, they will not be on the TV set. Hey, this is Man's Last Stronghold. What can I say? You go in there, and it's just, you know, you have a good time getting your hair cut. I mean, isn't that the idea? That and a great haircut. Our guest, John Reed, and we have a caller on the phone, Ray Thomas, the representative of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning to all of you. And first, to you, Carl, I wanted to thank you and Linda for your support of the libraries at the Taste of Spain. And you both did an excellent job, and it was an awesome event.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Ray. Thanks for, you know, it's if we can support the community, we try to get in there.
Hey, so I really don't have time to call in today, but I had to work a couple minutes in because your previous caller had was mentioning Ken Murray and the, you know, where are the solutions, right?
Yeah.
And what I wanted to offer, it's really amazing to me. There's so much union animus going on for different reasons, but I want everybody to understand. I'm not discussing current negotiations between IBEW maintenance and the city of Reading. That would be improper for me to do that. But in the past negotiations with electric in the city of Reading, we were the innovators with the thinking caps on, while some of the council members evidently didn't care. But IDW offered to fix this, at the time, $94 million unfunded liability. We offered to not only eliminate retiree medical for our city contributions to retiree medical for future hires, we offered to block their access from even purchasing retiree medical, which caused the adverse selection, driving our costs up. That's the proposal we offered. The city rejected it. The city came back to the negotiating table and informed us that council thought that was too severe. So it's interesting that people are looking for, they're asking what the solutions are. We're at the negotiating table offering hardline solutions to these problems, and we get a thumbs down from council. That's why we need new council members, because we have solutions. We've been offering them for over 2 years, and they're falling on deaf ears.
Well, so you're saying, is the council, if you offered up a two-tier solution and the council turned you down?
That's correct. And that is absolutely correct. So I'm not speaking of our current negotiations. This is past electric bargaining.
Okay.
And in past electric bargaining, when Patrick Jones and Rick Pizzetti, Missy MacArthur, when the council came in and proposed that new employees not be eligible for city contributions to their future retired medical, IBW asked for an actuary, which Patrick on your show has said that didn't happen, but I have it in hand. IBW asked for an actuary of what that would do to the cost of the city of Reading. For for over 12 months, or after we discovered in the new actuary, the city approved the actuary, it was fairly inexpensive, everybody discovered that what the city council was proposing was going to drive our costs up by millions of dollars because of adverse selection, which means that if we allow them, future hires, to purchase retiree medical without a city contribution, only the sickest of the sick would pay that full cost. Once we discovered it, it took some 14 months for the council to finally figure out that their proposal was going to drive our costs up. We came back almost immediately after the actuary came out in December of 08, and we said, okay, then block their access to purchasing the retired medical also, and the adverse selection goes away. The city came back and told us council thought that was too severe. We're offering the tough line decisions to fix these issues. They're falling on deaf ears, and they're being used for political standing for whatever the aspirations of the majority of council are. Okay. I'm not sure what they are, but we're offering the fix, Carl.
Ray, isn't that, though, putting the costs of the current employees on the backs of the future employees?
No. Actually, the cost of the current employees, what it's doing is it's taking benefits away, the access of benefits away from future employees.
Right. Future employees won't have the benefits the current employees have, and the money that would go towards the future employees are paying the unfunded commitments.
No. The unfunded liability is just a moving target, as Steve Allen had explained to Carl on his show earlier this week. It's just a moving valuation.
Well, yeah, I think we understand what it is. It'll change with demographics and longevity, but it's for the current employees, and it's a best estimate of the future expenses for the current employees. And if you take away from future employees an opportunity to have benefits to pay for the current employees' benefits, I mean, I can see where someone might want to have some balance to it.
No, it's not taking away. Remember, the mantra right now from some of these candidates is the unfunded liability. You hear today it's $85 million. When we were in bargaining with IBW, it was $94.
Right. It's some
that
number.
Excuse me?
It's some number out there. It's hard to pick the right. The number changes
right now,
daily.
There are candidates using $84 million. So that is what the city's directive was when it came to the negotiating table. We have to control the unfunded liability. IBW discovered in December of 08, based on an actuary we requested of the city, that the only way to do it was to block future hire access to retiree medical purchasing, And what we did is we took the general wages that the city was offering at the time, the wage increases, and we broke off some of those increases. We were going to pay for them out of the increases the city was offering, put them into a private retirement health care savings plan for future hires so that they had a buffer to get them to Medicare eligibility.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, we got to take a break here. You know, Rick Bassetti's going to be on tomorrow. This may be a question for him. You know, the whole thing I have before we go for the break is that if you're taking away all those, you know, all the health care and the insurance like that from your future hires, how do you make up for that? Is it higher wages? Or are you just, what, I mean?
No, actually, Carl, how we made up for it is we took away from the wages the city was offering us at the time and put that money into a private retirement health care plan.
Okay, so it's
a
private plan.
We were going to pay for it ourselves, Carl.
Okay, all right. Okay, hey, Ray, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
And it was good seeing you out there at the Taste of Spain, too. All right, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:45 in the morning, October 21st. Phone lines here are 605-4567. The chat room is back up. Just go to KCNR1460.com. Get in there and throw your comments in. And we've had some pretty good ones, people, how to save money and all that. Our guest co-host for today is Eric Woodstrom, Five Star Bank.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. It's great to listen. People are throwing figures out, watching Eric start to smile and then jump into it because, you know, there's only certain ways you can move money around.
Yep, there's a limited pot of money, and it's how you spend it. And I think that the council today and tomorrow is going to have some very tough decisions on how to spend that money. John, I asked you the comment during the break or the question during the break. You know, you've been in politics here locally, been successful in politics, got out of it, and now you're jumping back in. What prompted you to jump back in?
Well, I was concerned about what I heard going on with the employee unions trying to field candidates. They're putting a lot of money into this election, and they're going to expect something back. They're saying right now all they want is respect, but I just think that there's a little more to it than that. So I decided to run and offer my expertise in government and my knowledge. And, you know, you think about it, I was trained by government. I was trained in everything I know by taxpayer dollars. And so there is an asset there that I'm offering back to the
people.
Sure,
and you understand the process and the system and how change needs to be made.
Right. So anyway, we were just talking earlier to the gentleman from the electrical workers at about health care benefits. My wife is a teacher, and she gets a fixed dollar amount for her health care. And if we want any more, then we pay that. We make it up out of her check. And in 2007, I had a heart attack and five-way bypass, and it paid off handsomely the fact that we were paying the extra money.
Yeah,
but
made the choice.
We made the choice, and we, of course, we're both in our 60s now, and it made sense for us. I can see where the younger employees may not want to kick in the extra money.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. Roberta, you're on KCNR.
Yeah. I had a question about the fire trucks and the fire department. I understand that 85% or more of the calls for the fire department are for medical emergencies, and they roll that expensive equipment. And I understand that those hours go against the longevity of the equipment. Would it be better to let the private sector ambulances go on medical emergencies and not send all that equipment? And the other question, would it be better to have the firemen on 8-hour shifts instead of paying them all that overtime? I'll take my answer on the air.
Thank you, Roberta.
The firemen get overtime because it's cheaper to pay a fireman overtime than it is to hire a new hire with all the benefit packages and everything that goes into hiring a fireman. However, that goes back to my issue of volunteers to cover the overtime caused when the truck rolls out. Now, as far as rolling out the equipment, I understand what you're saying, that it's expensive equipment to run, but we need to train and offer practice to our employees on how to run that equipment and drive through the city and do it in a safe manner. And so it's kind of a practice makes perfect thing with me to allow those pieces of equipment to go out.
Well, you know, my problem with it is that, and I know that if they're out on a medical emergency and it turns out not to be an emergency and there's a fire, they head right to the fire, which is why they take their equipment with them. In case they're out, if they're running for a medical emergency and there's a fire, they can go straight there. But with that in mind, it seems like it, you know, that, you know, half of the, you know, if you can cut down on half of the calls they make by giving it out to an ambulance service, that it would save wear and tear. It would save the number of hours that we're running. Because if I mean, you're there on an 8-hour shift or a 10-hour shift, and you're in, instead of running for 6 hours of medical emergencies, you're in the you know, training. It seems like that couldn't do anything but save money to me. I mean,
sure. And it also goes back to the debate over the two-man versus three-man crews. And, you know, certainly with a fire, having three-man, you know, you need the third man there.
Yeah.
But when 85% of your calls in the city, and in some cities and municipalities, it's up to 90% of the calls are emergency or aid, where the three-man crew is not necessary, I think looking for creative solutions to help, you know, like you talked about, John, you know, we're having the police cooperate with them on the fires and
help manage
us fiscally more responsible and still give the great level of service that our fire crews give them.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll come back, John. It'll be our last segment. Have you finish out. But also is that it seems like we're getting, you know, I mean, a decision was made. I know it sounds simple. Decision was made the other day to not let an ice cream truck run after 7:30 at night. It got all the way up to the city council. But it's a business. It would have impacted severely on that business. Do you think that they don't comprehend what business is in the city council staff? I know it's a leading question, but I want to talk about that when we get back. Carl on the Bot, 3-5 Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. October 21st, this is our last segment here at 8:54. This segment's brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Hey, on Friday, we're going to have, of course, our town hall meeting to talk about Proposition 19 for or against legalizing marijuana. We've been talking about it while we were on a break here. And I want to remind you is that on Saturday out in Anselmo's, Linda's going to be singing out there. Get your reservations now. New music. She's been working up a new act there. So go on out and take a look at it. It's going to be great. So our guest today is John Reet, running for Reading City Council. We have people on the line. Our guest co-host, Eric Wistrom. We're always glad to have Eric here.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay, let's go to the phones here. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Hey, I tried to get in when you had Ken Murray on there, and I know you have another guest there today running for city council.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to get an answer out of Ken Murray. I sent him a couple emails and stuff, but I never get an answer. And it goes back to when he ran for city council the last time. And just before he ran or announced that he was running, when he had the morning radio show on that other channel. But anyway, he had this gentleman on there that wrote a book on how to negotiate with the IRS to get your federal taxes reduced. And he had basically said that he owed the IRS approximately just a little bit less than $90,000. And he negotiated it down to $9,000, which was good for him. I could care less. But when you're running for a public office, which I think this year they're going to have a budget of approximately $300 million, why in the heck would I trust him with $300 million if he can't even take care of his own personal financial situation?
Well, I tell you what. Do you have a computer, Jason?
Yeah.
If you go on to our chat room, KCNR 1460, on Monday, November 1st, Ken Murray will be here along with Patrick Jones, and you can ask that question.
So I already asked Patrick Jones that question, and I also asked Gary Catt about the same question. Of course, both of them said they've never done anything like that. But the only reason I'm able to call in this morning is because my boss was a nice guy and let me take a couple hours off because I have to go see the dentist this morning.
Well, you know what? You know, if you kind of be like sitting there, you know, at the office and just put us on KCNR 1460 and that kind of stream, put one of those little earbuds in your ear and continue to work, but then listen to us.
Well, unfortunately, I don't sit at a desk.
Oh, well, okay. Hey, Jason,
but
thanks.
I thought maybe if you could just
we'll
tell
we'll
him
ask
that,
him that.
You know, you had a visit caller called in, and this is the question. But I would like to have him, why should I trust him?
Okay, thanks for your phone call.
All right, thanks.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Okay, John, got just a couple minutes here. Why don't you, can you sum up you?
Sum up me.
Why you?
Why me? Well, I believe in Redding. You know, one of the issues that came up in the campaign is there's this loan outstanding on these parking structures out here that's been on record for probably 40 years. Now, I grew up in Redding. I can remember when this block behind us, California Street, was nothing but bars down below and brothels upstairs. It was left over from the construction of Shasta Dam. And we had that going on out back there. And eventually, city council, there was a theater there. And our mothers would not let us go to the movie on Saturday afternoon on that street. You went over to the Cascade. City council made the decision at that point in time to fund these parking structures and basically tear down what was a skid row. And, I mean, we had derelicts sleeping in doorways and wine bottles in the gutter and the whole thing. It was pretty bad. And so they got money from wherever they could get it. And I think that it was probably some of the best money that's ever been spent in Redding, because now we have a wholesome place to live and safe place to work, and that was important.
Well, thanks, John. And thanks for being on our show. And thanks for taking a huge interest in our community and wanting to make a difference.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. And I really, the issues have kind of developed as this campaign has gone along.
Yeah.
You know, at first we were just talking public safety, but no candidate's talking about cutting public safety.
Yeah.
Everybody is trying to figure out the best way to get the biggest bang for the buck.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, we've at least got the things on the right track, and I think we'll be okay.
I think everybody's aiming in that direction. Hey, our guest co-host today was Eric Wittstrom. Thank you so much, Eric.
It's always
a pleasure being here.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have Rick Bassetti on, and also at noontime be doing Proposition 19 at Tobacco and Brew. Bad Bob, thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Oh.